that I wasn't alone. I knew there were times when his body reacted to me, too. The only difference was, I didn't want to fight it. I'd been burned by someone I cared about just like he'd been, yet I still wanted to explore what was going on between us. I felt his warm breath tickle the back of my neck, and something dawned on me. I'd been going about things with Reed the wrong way. I'd been trying to get closer to him by making him talk to me, open up to me. But he was buttoned up so tight that he shut me down at every attempt. Maybe the way to get to him wasn't through talking after all. Even a diamond has a vulnerable spot where the precious stone could be split open. Reed's soft spot wasn't in verbal communication. It was in his physical attraction to me. I wasn't above working with the limited tools I had. I took a step back so that my ass brushed against his front and turned my head to whisper, a seemingly innocent gesture. I'm sorry I was so nosy before. Reed cleared his throat and whispered back.
It's fine.
I didn't take a step away after our short exchange, and Reed definitely didn't back up. Something told me that when I worked on penetrating this man's soft spot, soft would be the last thing I'd find. Oh my God, I did it! After pulling myself up and over the top of the wall we had to climb, I stood and jumped up and down. Reed was right behind me and flashed a genuine smile.
You did good.
Even though the wall was probably only 30 feet to get to the plateau we stopped at, I felt like I'd climbed a full mountain. I raised both my hands into the air and screamed, I'm a gecko! Reed laughed.
A what?
A gecko, you know. I darted my tongue in and out fast a few times. The lizardy thing from the Geico commercials. A gecko. They scale walls, right? Reed shook his head.
Well, you looked more like Spider-Woman than a gecko, but I can understand the feeling. It's been a while for me, too. I forgot how alive it makes you feel.
Does the office have a Halloween party? I'm totally dressing up as Spider-Woman, and you need to dress up as Spider-Man. I couldn't control my random rambling. Oh my God, that was so much fun.
I'm glad we take a half-hour break before climbing to the next plateau. You look like you might run up the wall, stepping on the backs of all the people ahead of you. You're so full of energy.
I can totally see how this can become addicting. Something physical happens. I was terrified the minute my feet left the ground, even though I knew I was only 2 feet up and I wouldn't get hurt if I jumped down. The blood started pumping in my veins and my chest started to pound. But then I forced myself to climb one more leg up, and an incredible feeling came over me. It was like I was drawn to the top of the mountain and had to climb it. The further up I went, the more dangerous it became, yet the less I cared about the consequences of falling. I just craved reaching the top and couldn't stop myself if I wanted to. Did you feel like that? Reed stared at me, his face less amused and more serious now.
Yes.
I'd been wearing a light sweatshirt over my cropped yoga top, but the climb had made the heat accumulate in my muscles and my body temperature rise. Now that I'd stopped, the sweat began to pour out of me. It happened when I exercised, too. I would suddenly start to sweat profusely after I stopped moving. I unzipped my sweatshirt, slipped it off, and tied it around my waist as I spoke. I can totally imagine being unable to think about anything else but this feeling for days to come. It must be tough to walk away from this and not obsess about it, huh?
You have no fucking idea.
Reed's voice sounded funny, and when I looked up, I realized why. His eyes were glued to my sweaty cleavage. Finding that made my breathing almost as labored as it had been a few minutes ago, scaling rock. It also reminded me of Reed's weakness. I took a step closer to him and leaned up on my tippy toes to plant a kiss on his cheek. Thank you for sharing this with me, Reed. He cleared his throat and blinked a few times.
You're welcome.
After another invigorating climb, our instructor called it a day. Reed and I had only signed up for today, but when the instructor said there was an early morning intermediate climb tomorrow, I encouraged Reed to do it. You should go. I'll sleep in, or maybe even splurge for a massage in the morning. I've used muscles I didn't even realize I had today. I'm sure I'll be sore anyway, but you've spent the entire day taking care of me. Go do the intermediate climb in the morning. You've earned it. Before he could say no, I walked over to the instructor who was packing up his gear and told him I wanted to sign up my friend for the morning climb.
Has your friend climbed before?
Reed finished packing his own bag and walked up mid-conversation. Yes, he was an avid climber, but took a break for a while.
Okay, tell him to meet us at the West Hiking Trail entrance.
I grinned and turned to Reed. Meet them at the West Hiking entrance. The instructor looked back and forth between us.
Oh, you meant Reed?
Yes.
You said a friend. I assumed you were a couple.
He looked at Reed.
7 a.m., start. I'm not the guide for the morning climb. Heath is. You met him earlier today when he dropped off the equipment we used.
Reed nodded and turned to me.
You sure you don't mind?
Not at all. I'll find something to occupy myself. Don't worry about me. The instructor hesitated for a moment, but then said,
I hike on Sunday mornings. Not a tour or anything, just me and nature for fun. Why don't you join me while your friend is on his climb?
I glanced over at Reed and caught a vein bulging from his neck. Thanks for the invite, but I think I'll be too tired to hike. Oblivious of Reed's death scowl, the instructor reached into his back pocket and pulled out his wallet. He fished out a business card and extended it to me with a flirty smile.
Cell phone is on the card. We can make it a short hike and have some breakfast after. Think about it.
Okay. Thanks. Reed was quiet as we walked to the car. As always, he walked around to the passenger side first to open my door. Only he didn't shut it like he normally did. He slammed the damn thing. The awkwardness continued to grow as he drove to the hotel in silence. I knew what he was pissed at. It wasn't like he could hide his obvious jealousy. But I was curious what he'd do with it. So I didn't try to make any conversation either. I let the discomfort continue to stew. He parked at the hotel and finally spoke. Well, growl might be a more appropriate description.
Be careful on your hike tomorrow.
Did he actually think I would do that? Did you hear me say I was going?
You took his card.
I was being polite.
I didn't realize that politeness entailed flirting and leading men on.
My eyes bulged. Flirting? Leading men on? You say I'm nuts. I think you have a few screws loose of your own, Eastwood. I asked him about a climb for you. I didn't flirt at all, and I certainly didn't have any intention of calling him.
I don't think he got that message.
Frustrated, I flailed my arms in the air and slapped them down against my legs. You know what? Screw you! I opened the car door, but then turned back. Maybe I will call him. I haven't gotten laid in a really long time, and God knows you shot me down when I asked you out, so I might as well move on and find someone else who can get my rocks off. I stepped out of the car door and slammed it shut with as much ferocity as Reed had earlier. He called after me as I stormed toward the elevator.
Charlotte!
I answered without turning around, raising my middle finger over my shoulder as I walked. Screw you, Reed Eastwood. I'm done.
Chapter 24. Reed. Once again, I'd fucked up. It seemed to be a regular occurrence when it came to Charlotte, darling. I'd say or do something that would upset her because I was pissed, and then hours later I regretted it and hated myself for the way I'd acted. Normally, she was good about it. We'd established a routine of sorts. I'd either get jealous of her having contact with another man or get frustrated because I couldn't push her up against a wall and show her how she made me feel. Then I'd lash out and she'd get angry. Her anger would simmer and turn to upset and my guilt would eat at me. I'd apologize and we'd go back to being friends. Wash, rinse, repeat. Only this time, she wasn't letting me apologize. Even though her hotel room was right next door to mine and I'd heard her moving around, she pretended she wasn't inside when I knocked. I also sent a text that showed as read, but no damn response from that either. Now it was my second call to her room, and the phone just rang and rang. I showered, answered a few work emails, and then decided I needed a drink. On my way down to the lobby bar, I knocked on Charlotte's door one last time. Not surprisingly, she didn't respond. After a minute of standing at her door in silence, I heard the sound of movement inside, so I took a chance and spoke with my forehead pressed up against the door. I'm going to go get something to eat downstairs. I know I'm an asshole. If you'd like to join me to yell at me over a steak and glass of wine, you know where to find me. I took a few steps away from her door and then walked back. I hope you join me, Charlotte. The first scotch went down smooth, so I decided to order a second and eat handfuls of peanuts from the bar rather than order a steak. I'd positioned myself in a corner facing the entrance so I could watch who came in. Each time someone approached, my pathetic heart sped up. Then I'd realize it wasn't her, and I'd chase down my sorrow with another gulp of amber liquid. After the third glass, in an hour and a half, I decided to skip dinner and get some sleep. I practically stumbled out of the elevator and onto our floor. Outside of Charlotte's door was a room service tray. I picked up the metal cover to her dinner to see what she'd had and found a full, untouched cheeseburger. There was a piece of cheesecake with one spoonful taken out of it and a cork. Guess we had the same meal. I took a deep breath and knocked one more time on the off chance that she'd listen to my apology, never expecting her to answer. But she did, and when the door swung open, offering her an apology was the furthest thing from my mind. Charlotte was standing there in nothing but a black lace bra and panties.
You liked it so much in the bag, I thought maybe you'd like to see it on.
My eyes had already zeroed in on the little red rose sewn onto the top of the waistband of her thong. After that day in the office when I told her to show me the lingerie she'd purchased, I'd spent weeks imagining her wearing it for me at night. I'd use my teeth to grab that rose and tear the lacy fabric down her gorgeous legs. But anything I'd imagined couldn't hold a candle to the vision before me. Charlotte was simply stunning. Taking her in, the air rushed out of my lungs. All that creamy, toned skin, those gorgeous killer curves covered in only a few pieces of skimpy black lace. Fuck me. Her full breasts were aching for release from that little low-cut bra, and I could see her nipples protruding through the sheer fabric. Lush, hard, beautiful pink nipples that begged to be sucked. I knew she was watching me, but couldn't take my eyes off her body long enough to look up at her face.
"What do you think?"
she whispered. Charlotte did a slow, seductive turn, stopping so I could get a good, long look at her ass on full display, except for the string that ran up her crack. I imagined what my handprint might look like on the two creamy globes of her ass cheeks. When she circled back around to face me, our gazes locked. I had no willpower left. I wanted to suck on her skin more than anything I'd ever wanted in my life. I wanted to suck hard and leave marks, hear her cry out my name when my teeth sank into her. This was not going to be gentle, not even close. "Charlotte, you're so fucking beautiful. Everything. Your body, your face, you, inside and out." My gravelly voice strained to speak. It wasn't easy with the massive rush of blood heading south.
"It's your turn to get naked," she said. "I've shown you mine. It's your turn to show me mine."
I smiled, at first thinking it was cute that she'd messed up what she was trying to say. Then she hiccuped, followed by a giggle. I tried to ignore my conscience, even with the warning bells going on around me. I wanted her so fucking bad, but a cork on her room service tray, messed up speech, hiccups, and giggling. Looking over her shoulder, I caught the empty wine bottle on the dresser. "You drank that full bottle of wine yourself?"
"I didn't save any," hiccup, "for you, boss man."
Fuck. Fuck. I almost did it. I had almost reached for her and taken what I'd wanted from the moment she entered my life. That is, until I realized exactly how inebriated she was. That brought me back to reality. I seemed to have forgotten that I couldn't have her anyway. Charlotte just kept looking at me with those glassy eyes. I was half-sauced myself, with very little desire to move from my spot long enough to head back to my room. I just kept staring at her beautiful body.
"Sometimes you look at me, Reed, and I could swear you want to smack my ass."
Want isn't strong enough of a word to describe what I want to do to your ass. Fuck, what was I saying? I was losing it. Charlotte was looking down. My dick had completely betrayed me as it stretched through the crotch of my trousers, displaying a more than obvious erection. I was hard as hell, and there was nothing I could do about it.
Looks like someone is happy to see me, even if you're trying to convince yourself otherwise. Maybe I can help clear up some confusion.
Charlotte reached behind her back. What was she doing? She unsnapped her bra and let it drop to the ground. No, no, no. Her gorgeous tits were now on full display. I swallowed, hardly able to contain the need to lick them. Her nipples were erect, and the skin around them prickled in little goosebumps. My eyes then landed on a tiny cluster of freckles in the middle of her cleavage. Charlotte's breasts were beautiful, round, and hung naturally, unlike Allison's stiff silicone. Jump up and down for me, Charlotte. I want to see them bounce.
Touch me, she panted.
I literally put my hands behind my back. I can't touch you as it is, Charlotte, but I most certainly can't touch you when you're drunk.
What is it about me that stops you every time? You clearly want me. You gave your whole heart to someone like Allison, but you refuse to explore things even a little with me, to see where this could go. Just tell me what's wrong with me. I can take it.
God, I hated to let her think that my hesitancy had anything to do with Allison. Well, it did, but not in the way she thought at all. She took two steps closer and seemed to lose her balance. Charlotte then wrapped her arms around my neck. Before I could process that, her lips were on mine. A noise that I couldn't identify came out of me. It felt like all the oxygen in my body escaped into Charlotte's mouth as I surrendered to the need to kiss her. My hands were gripping her hair for dear life. I enveloped her lips with mine. Charlotte's taste was sweet and intoxicating with a hint of white wine. I let my tongue slip inside her mouth for a few seconds, and the pleasure was too much to bear. I ripped myself away from her in one last-ditch effort to stop from making a huge mistake that I'd never recover from. With the back of my hand, I wiped her saliva off my lips, not because I didn't want it there. Just the opposite. My hand was shaking. Covering her breasts and looking humiliated, Charlotte bent down to pick up her bra, then put it back on. She looked more upset than I'd probably ever seen her. I couldn't blame her. I was sure none of this made any sense to her. Her eyes were glistening as she shouted, "Go!" "I can't."
"What?"
"I can't leave you when you're upset like this."
"Fuck you, Eastwood,"
she huffed before making her way over to the bed. Charlotte buried her face in her pillow. I couldn't tell if she was crying or simply in the midst of passing out. It was likely that she might not even remember this exchange tomorrow. At least, I hoped she didn't. Standing there like a dumbass with my hands in my pockets, I watched her lying on her stomach. After a few minutes, I moved and sat on the edge of her bed, then eventually kicked my feet up. The room was spinning a little. Turning to her, I watched as she continued to lie there, her face buried in her pillow, her breathing still heavy. Speaking softly, I said, "Charlotte, what am I going to do with you?" My eyes fell to her half-naked ass, my dick still perpetually hard. My balls ached. I know none of this makes any sense. I started to open up, knowing she likely wasn't going to process it. "I'm so sorry to have hurt you. I don't know how to be around you anymore. Don't mistake my apprehension for lack of interest. In fact, it's exactly the opposite, a constant battle. The truth is, I've been fighting my feelings for you for a very long time, and it's the hardest thing I've ever had to do. But I know with 100% certainty that I am not the right man for you. You're a dreamer, Charlotte, the biggest dreamer of them all, and you deserve to be with someone who won't ever hold you back in life." Closing my eyes, I let out a deep breath. "I'm trying so hard to do the right thing here. If I slip and let myself have you, I'm never going to want to let you go. And that wouldn't be fair. I dream of what it would be like to get fully lost in you, to not have any cares in the world. God, you'd probably want to have me arrested if you knew all the things I've done to you in my head. I want to do crazy fucking things to you. It's all so close that I can taste it, but in reality, it's so far away. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I hurt you tonight. You deserve better. You deserve the world. And you're going to make some lucky bastard the happiest man on the planet someday." My chest constricted at the thought. The idea of Charlotte with another man made me feel physically ill. But I couldn't have her, and I needed to learn how to let her go.
Her breathing had slowed. I was pretty sure she was out. I wanted nothing more than to nestle my face in her hair, to breathe her in until I lost consciousness. Instead, I compromised. Fluffing my pillow, I inched in closer so that I could at least smell her without touching. I closed my eyes and let myself drift away. It was as close to bliss as I was going to get.
Chapter 25. Charlotte. Blinking my eyes open, I looked over at the opposite side of my bed. I couldn't remember when Reed left last night. I couldn't remember much of anything. The time shown in the clock caused me to gasp. I'd slept till noon? What the hell? Why hadn't Reed called to wake me up? A vague recollection of his talking low in my ear and apologizing to me last night registered, but I couldn't figure out if I'd dreamed it all. Also, did we kiss? I thought we had, but I couldn't be sure if I'd imagined that as well. An empty feeling came over me as my head pounded. My cell phone rang. It was a number I didn't recognize. Hello?
Hey, Charlotte. This is John.
John was the instructor from yesterday who'd tried to get me to go out with him. How did you get my number?
It was on your registration paperwork.
Oh, how can I help you?
Your friend Reed was just taken to the hospital. His instructor drove him. He's okay, though.
My heartbeat accelerated. What? I then remembered that Reed had scheduled an early morning climb.
Yeah, he was climbing this morning and fell. His legs gave way from under him. It's company policy to take the client into the hospital for observation if anything happens on our watch.
You said he's all right, though?
Yeah, he was coherent, walking and everything. Just with a slight limp. Again, it's just procedure.
Which hospital?
Newton Memorial.
Can you take me there? He hesitated.
Sure, yeah.
John met me outside of the resort and drove me the couple of miles to the hospital. I insisted that he drop me off, figuring that Reed and I would call an Uber back to the hotel whenever he was clear to leave. After much searching, I spotted Reed inside one of the examination rooms. He was talking to a doctor. Unsure of whether to make my presence known, I instead opted to stand outside of the door. I couldn't help listening to their conversation.
The thing is, I'd really been feeling great as of late. I wouldn't have planned this trip if I thought the muscle spasms were going to return.
So you have experienced symptoms?
Yes, but they're fleeting. I'm still at the very early stages. Well, multiple sclerosis can be sneaky that way, and the truth is you may have several weeks or months at a time when you're asymptomatic, only to have the symptoms return. Have you experienced anything else in recent weeks? Aside from some mild vertigo, no. Did you come to the Adirondacks alone? No, I'm here with a friend. She doesn't know I'm at the hospital and doesn't know anything about the MS.
MS? Reed has MS? Reed has MS. What? It seemed like the hospital vestibule was spinning. My heart felt like it was ready to explode as I ran down the hall into the elevator. I needed air. Once outside, I knelt down with my head between my legs on the front grass of the hospital grounds. Breathe. Everything was suddenly making sense. The canceled wedding. Everything saying that Reed had his reasons for the way he was, why he wouldn't let himself be with me. The bucket list. Oh my God, the bucket list. My shoulders shook as I cried into my hands. Never in my life had I felt so much pain for another human being. At the same time, something else was bursting through me as every moment I'd ever had with Reed seemed to flash before my eyes. I was hesitant to call my feelings for Reed love. All I knew was that I'd never experienced what I was feeling before. I'd known for a long time that my feelings for Reed transcended normal infatuation. Now that I truly understood why he was preventing us from taking that next step, I could allow myself to really experience those feelings for him for the first time. I went from understanding nothing to understanding everything. Everything. Reed thought he was protecting me.
You deserve to be with someone who won't ever hold you back in life.
Where had that come from? Had he said that to me? It was buried somewhere in my mind. Had he said that last night? Then I thought about the dress and the blue note. He hadn't known what lay ahead when he wrote that note to Allison. Reed's hopes and dreams were likely shattered sometime after. But why did they have to be? Surely he couldn't just give up because Allison left him. She was a coward who never really loved him. What Allison had done to him was really starting to hit me. She left him because of his MS. Had she never heard of in sickness and in health? To think that I believed that blue note sewn inside her dress represented unconditional love. The fairy tale was an illusion. The fact was, Allison wouldn't know the meaning of unconditional love if it smacked her in the face. An overwhelming need for information overtook me. Tonight, I vowed to read everything there was to know about MS on the internet until my brain bled. I needed to find every bit of information there was to give him hope. I remember watching that talk show host, Montel Williams, on TV. He had MS and was lifting weights and looking healthier than most people. There had to be a way around this. I needed there to be hope. Reed could not let this rule his life. There were the tears again. How the hell was I supposed to hold myself together today if I didn't tell him I knew? He clearly never intended for me to know about his diagnosis. He was never going to tell me. I just knew it. I had to think long and hard about this, because I didn't want to upset him. He deserved the right to be able to tell me on his own terms. My finding out the way I had was an unintentional violation of his privacy. My heart. It felt so heavy, like it was weighing my entire body down. I called John back to come pick me up, asking him not to mention to Reed that I'd ever gone to the hospital at all. Returning to the resort, I went back to my room and immediately pulled up WebMD on my phone. Scrolling through article after article, I was doing my best to learn more about MS in the short time I had before Reed came back. Needing to figure out how I was going to approach it, I decided that I wasn't going to tell him I knew. At least, not yet. When my phone rang, I picked up. Reed, where are you?
How are you feeling today?
A little hungover, but I'm fine. How come you didn't wake me this morning?
Trust me, you needed to sleep.
He paused.
Listen, you should know, I slipped during this morning's climb. They made me go to the hospital just as a precaution. A few scrapes and bruises, but I'm fine. I'm already back in my room.
Trying to act surprised, I said, Are you sure you're okay?
Yes, I'll be good to drive back to the city.
When are we heading back?
Whenever you're ready.
I'd like to go soon, I said.
Okay, how about I swing by your room in about 20 minutes? We can grab some lunch, then hit the road.
Sounds good. The ride back to Manhattan was tranquil. I was afraid if I opened my mouth, I wouldn't be able to hide my feelings. So I chose to say nothing at all. Reed turned to me as the sun was starting to set over the interstate.
You okay?
I finally looked at him. Yeah, I'm fine. He seemed preoccupied. More silence passed before he asked.
Do you remember anything about last night?
Last night? Even if I did remember the details of our drunken encounter in my room, anything beyond the bombshell from this afternoon was a total blur. Bits and pieces. His voice was low.
Do you remember the kiss?
So it was real. Vaguely? He sucked in his jaw.
Nothing else happened, in case you were wondering.
I wasn't. That was the least of my worries.
You passed out. I stayed for a while, fell asleep. Then I left early in the morning.
Why did you stay?
I didn't feel right leaving you. You were upset.
Well, thank you for staying.
I take full responsibility for coming to your room, but we can't get carried away like that anymore.
I just kept nodding, and I could feel tears forming in my eyes. Shit, this was why I couldn't talk to him. Turning my head to look out the window, I was hoping he didn't notice my total loss of control. Reed turned up the volume on the radio when Bonnie Raitt's I Can't Make You Love Me came on. The words reminded me so much of my situation with Reed because you only had so much control over another person's feelings. I couldn't make Reed see his future the way I did. He had to come to that realization himself. The song wasn't helping my predicament.
Charlotte, look at me.
When I turned to him, he could see my tears.
What the fuck? Don't cry. Why are you crying?
Because you have MS, and because you believe that would matter to me. Holding out my hand, I said, It's not about anything you said. I'm just feeling emotional. This Bonnie Raitt song that's on, I Can't Make You Love Me, it's depressing. I lied. And it's also my time of the month. Reed simply nodded in understanding. He seemed to accept that explanation without questioning me any further. Keeping everything in was taking a toll on me, and it hadn't even been a couple of hours since finding out. Not even a full day, and I couldn't hold it together. The rest of the ride home was quiet. After Reed dropped me off at my apartment, I immediately called an Uber to take me to Iris's house. Her doorman knew me and let me go right upstairs. The moment she opened the door, the words fell from my mouth. Do you know? Brushing past her shoulder, I let myself in. Her eyes filled with concern.
What are you referring to, Charlotte?
Out of breath, I said. The MS! Iris closed her eyes and walked toward the couch.
Come, sit.
I sat down and placed my head in my hands. Iris, my heart is breaking. Tell me what to do. She placed her hand on my knee.
He told you?
No, I'm not supposed to know anything. I accidentally found out. She looked shocked.
How?
Long story short, we went rock climbing in the Adirondacks. Reed is okay, but he fell and needed to get checked out. We weren't together when it happened. I followed him to the hospital. I overheard a conversation between him and his doctor. He doesn't know I was ever there or that I know. Placing my head in my hands, I was on the verge of tears yet again. I don't know how to handle this. I can't just pretend like I don't know, but I'm afraid he'll be irate if he finds out. Iris nodded in understanding.
Give it some time. The right answer will come to you.
I looked up at her. You were right. You always said that he had his reasons for being so closed off, but I never imagined this. She let out a deep breath.
Charlotte, you know, MS is not a death sentence. Reed was actually cautiously optimistic when he was first diagnosed. He's seen all of the best specialists in Manhattan, and they all reassured him that many people can live perfectly normal lives with it. It's just that there are some who aren't so lucky. There's really no way to know which category Reed will fall into. Only time will tell. But when Allison determined that she couldn't handle the thought of the worst-case scenario, Reed was blindsided. That gave him a different perspective. One none of us have been able to snap him out of. He started to focus on the negative, the what-ifs. He lost a lot of faith that he hasn't been able to get back.
He really loved her. That was the only thing I'd known from the very beginning.
He did, but clearly she's not the one. He's determined not to let love in, Charlotte. I can't say with absolute certainty that he will ever change his mind on that. But the thought of my grandson living his life without experiencing the joys of true love and a family of his own makes my heart hurt immensely.
Tears stung my eyes. To imagine that there was a chance Reed might never be able to experience love again hurt my heart immensely, too.
Chapter 26. Reed. There was no doubt that something was seriously off with Charlotte since we'd returned from the Adirondacks. For the past couple of days, she'd been avoiding me, and while I knew that was really for the best, my curiosity got to me. I scheduled her to come help me at the showing of one of the more spectacular properties of my entire career. She'd insisted on getting a car service and not driving out to the Hamptons with me, making up some sorry excuse about her schedule. But I knew it was because she was avoiding being alone with me. That should have made me happy, but I was perplexed. Was this about my rejecting her advances? I couldn't be sure.
The East Hampton house was so close to the water, it was practically sitting in the ocean. The $20 million European-style estate was designed with the finest imported materials from floor to ceiling and wasn't going to stay on the market long. We had 3 appointments in a row, and I fully expected to be closing a deal by tomorrow once the 3 parties had time to mull over their competitive offers. When the showings were over, Charlotte and I had a chance to really talk for the first time all day. She'd taken off her shoes as we strolled along in the sandy water. "Let me ask you something, Reed." "All right." "I got the sense from your enthusiasm in showing this property, from the light in your eyes when you talked about its Gatsby-like stately elegance, that you're very fond of it. But would you actually live here, in this house?" "That was a no-brainer." "I absolutely would, yes." "What if I told you I wouldn't live here because it's so close to the water that I'd be afraid of what might happen if there were ever a major hurricane?" "I'd say you were seriously crazy." She tilted her head.
"Really? Why?"
Where was she going with this? "Because this house is the most amazing property I've ever had the privilege to represent. To not want to live in it, to not experience all of its splendor on a daily basis because you're worried about the potential of a storm, is ludicrous. You don't think that my fear should stop me from enjoying this beautiful house to its fullest?" "No, I don't," she added. "Because the storm may never come." "That's right. So, if this house represented life, then you don't believe you should live your life based on fear?" The serious look on her face gave me pause. I stopped walking. The ocean breeze was blowing her hair around. The way she was staring into my eyes, something was not right. Charlotte was asking me that question for a reason. We weren't really talking about the house. Suddenly, a rush of adrenaline ran through me. Had she figured it out? Had she somehow gotten access to my medical records? Could she possibly know about my diagnosis? No, that's impossible. I'd done everything in my power to keep all that information private. But this was Charlotte Darling we were talking about. Anything was possible. I had to know. "What are you really talking about here, Charlotte?" She wouldn't answer me immediately. Then she simply said,
"I know, Reed."
"You know what?"
"I know you have MS.
My heart felt like it fell to my stomach. Her words were like a sucker punch to the gut. I felt simply naked. "Tell me how you found out," I demanded. Her face was turning crimson.
"It was an accident. Please don't be mad. I'd gone to the hospital to check on you. I was standing outside the door when you were talking to your doctor. I can't help what I heard."
While my instinct was to blow up at her, that wouldn't be fair. She hadn't pried. She hadn't done anything wrong. And the concern in her eyes was genuine. I placed my hand on her cheek. "Come sit with me." Charlotte followed me over to a large rock that overlooked the ocean.
"You're not mad?"
Letting out a long breath, I silently shook my head no.
"Thank God. I thought you would be."
"A part of me is relieved that you know. But I need you to understand that this doesn't change anything, Charlotte."
"Listen, I've been doing lots of research and..."
"Let me finish," I interrupted.
"All right."
"I know you've probably scoured the internet for information that will make you feel better about this. I know you probably have a million positive spins on it. But the truth is, I can't ignore what's there. The moments where I have difficulty with mobility, the moments where my vision blurs or my legs feel numb, the times where I feel like I'm losing my mind, they're fleeting, but they are there." I inhaled some of the ocean air to compose myself. "It's all whispering to me right now, but the truth is, this will catch up with me someday. It's enough as it is without having to worry about being a burden on someone. I can't live knowing that might happen, Charlotte. The one favor Allison ever did for me was to leave me before it got to that point." She raised her voice. "Allison made a huge mistake in thinking a life with you wouldn't be worth it. I will never see things the way you do, Reed. I will never understand how someone wouldn't accept even limited quality time with the person they love over none at all. Then again, it's not love if you could walk away from someone. Life's not perfect. I could get hit by a bus tomorrow. In fact, I almost did this morning." I wasn't supposed to laugh at that.
It wasn't funny at all, but somehow the way she'd said it made me chuckle. Charlotte continued.
That said, I understand your fears. The one thing I can't do is force you to see things the way I do. If this is how you truly feel, then I want you to know you'll always have a friend in me at the very least.
She then looked down at her phone and stood up suddenly.
I have to leave.
Where are you going?
My ride is here.
I stood up. I assumed you were heading back to the city with me.
No, I called the car service.
My eyes moved back and forth in confusion.
All right.
Even though she had insisted on leaving, Charlotte was not okay. She looked like she was on the verge of tears when she said,
Bonnie Raitt was right.
Then she just walked away, leaving me standing there by the ocean. Bonnie Raitt was right. Bonnie Raitt was right.
What did that mean?
Then it hit me. The song. I can't make you love me. I stayed at the beach for a while, pondering Charlotte's words. Not to mention that damn song was now in my head. I was determined not to let her sway me. Things were the way they had to be. Charlotte couldn't consider the long-term implications of being with me because she only saw the world through rose-colored glasses. I had to be the sensible one in this equation. I was sure she was imagining the best possible outcome, not seeing me potentially restricted to a bed or confined to a wheelchair, unable to communicate or effectively eat. But the fact remained that the worst-case scenario wasn't out of the realm of possibility. Allison had made the decision she thought was best for herself and assumed the least risk as a result. She wouldn't have a husband with a debilitating illness interfering with her freedom. That was what I wanted for Charlotte, to be able to live out all her fuck-it dreams without anything holding her back. My phone rang, interrupting my thoughts. Checking the caller ID, I could see it was Josh, the private investigator. I picked up. This is Reed.
Eastwood. I'm checking on that Charlotte Darling investigation you gave me up in Poughkeepsie. I think I found something.
Chapter 27. Reed. I was always good at keeping secrets. Yet for some reason, I could barely look at Charlotte over the last week since Josh had called with information on her birth mother. Of course, I knew withholding was the right thing to do until Josh could verify everything he'd dug up, especially since a lot of it was word of mouth. There was no way in the world I was delivering that kind of unverified intel to Charlotte. Then there was also the fact that I had no idea how Charlotte was going to react to what I'd done. The two of us weren't strangers to invading each other's privacy. Oddly, it seemed to be our thing. I'd stalk her social media and open her fuck-it list. And in turn, she'd buy me a Christmas mug featuring my most personal childhood dream that I'd never shared with her. But digging up her mother, finding out her true identity and history, that took things to a whole new level of fucked up. It didn't help what I'd turned up wasn't good. Earlier this afternoon, I'd messaged Charlotte to find out what time she planned to leave the office tonight. She'd responded with 6, so I waited until 6:30 to drop off the files at her office that I needed her to work on tomorrow. I used my master key to unlock her door, expecting no one to be inside. Only, Charlotte was definitely still there.
Shit! Don't you knock?
She yanked the dress that was at her waist up, covering her bra. I stood frozen and staring, rather than doing the polite thing and turning away. Sorry, you said you were leaving at 6 and your door was locked.
I locked it so I could change.
I blinked a few times, finally managing to snap myself out of it. Sorry. I backed out and began to pull the door shut, but Charlotte called after me.
Wait!
I kept the door partially closed so I couldn't see her. What's up?
Can you help me with this zipper? It always sticks.
I looked up at the sky and counted to 10 in my head. Are you covered now?
Yes.
I opened the door and got a look at what Charlotte was wearing for the first time. I'd been so distracted by the contrast of her lacy black bra against her creamy skin that she could have been pulling on a clown suit and I wouldn't have noticed. I tried to keep my eyes on her face, but failed. The little black dress she wore, one with a low neckline that showed off a good amount of cleavage, was just too irresistible to pass up. It cut a few inches above her knees, which made her toned legs look endless as they slipped into a pair of spiky high-heeled shoes. I'd have given my right arm to feel them digging into my back. I swallowed. Going somewhere? She turned, giving me her back, and pulled her hair to the side. Charlotte's dress was half-zipped, stopping at the black lace of her bra. Can you zip me? I'm already running late. I walked over and stood behind her, taking in a big, deep breath of her scent. You look beautiful, but where are you going? I'm meeting a friend for drinks. My hand at her zipper froze. She was wearing a little black dress and smelled fucking amazing, and yet somehow I was shocked at her response. A friend? It felt like a Mack truck had just hit me. Yes, and I'm late, so if you wouldn't mind. Miraculously, I managed to pull up her zipper, even though all I wanted to do was rip the fucking dress off and tell her she wasn't going out with a friend. She turned around and smoothed out her dress. How do I look? How do you look? You look like you're mine. I made a conscious effort to unball my fists. I told you, you look beautiful. I felt her staring at me but couldn't meet her eyes. After a minute, I turned to walk away. Have a good night, Charlotte. I should have gone home, but I didn't. Like an idiot, I went to the bar that my buddies and I used to go to before I met Allison. I have no idea what I was thinking, but whatever it was a stupid fucking thought. I guzzled the third drink. It was watered down enough to taste like shit, but still did the trick. Digging in my pocket, I tossed $100 bill on the bar and spoke to the bartender. I'll take another. You sure? You're downing him pretty fast there, buddy. The woman I'm fucking crazy about asked me to help her zip up the sexy little dress she wore on her date tonight. The bartender nodded. I'll keep him coming. While I was drowning my sorrows, a woman slipped onto the stool next to me. Reed, I thought it was you. I squinted, trying to figure out where I knew her from. Her face was familiar, but I couldn't place it. You don't remember me? She pouted. Maya, Allison's friend. Well, ex-friend, I guess it would be, technically. My eyes dropped to her rack. I should have started there. She was pretty enough, but it was her massive tits that no one could forget. I remembered Allison used to talk shit about her all the time. How they had to be fake. How she should be a stripper. Yet she was always nice to her face. That should have been my first sign that the woman I was dating lacked integrity. I'd been so fucking blind. I was halfway to drunk and all the way to a depressing emotional wreck, so I couldn't even properly cover up what had caught my attention. Maya didn't seem to mind. She thrust her breasts forward proudly and flirted. I see you remember me now. I ignored her comment and gulped back the contents of my glass. Ex-friend? Yep. We had a fight a few months back. Haven't spoken since. I nodded. The last thing I wanted to do was talk about Allison. The bartender came back over and spoke to Maya. What can I get you?
I'll have a Long Island iced tea and whatever he's having. She pointed to my glass. His next one is on me.
That's not necessary.
Maybe not, but we're celebrating.
I looked over at her. What are we celebrating?
Both of us being rid of that bitch, Allison.
Maya stumbled getting off the stool. We definitely had too much to drink.
I have to go to the little girl's room, she giggled. Save my seat.
Sure thing. Last call had been almost a half hour ago. The bar was nearly empty. It wouldn't take much effort to reserve her stool. I finished off my drink. We'd been sitting in these same spots for a long time. Maya had actually turned out to be pretty nice. While I had no desire to discuss Allison, she'd filled me in on their fight. Apparently, my ex went out with the guy Maya had dated a few times, even though she knew they were seeing each other. Alcohol usually made thoughts fuzzy. But for some reason, it made mine clearer tonight. The more I reflected on the woman I'd asked to marry me, the more I realized she'd actually done me a favor by dumping my ass. The woman I thought I'd known was loyal and sweet. They say love is blind, but apparently in my case, it was deaf, dumb, and blind. I waved at the bartender to get his attention. Screw last call. I needed another drink. Everyone was fucking dating. Maya, my ex-fiance, Charlotte. I was the only celibate asshole these days. Maybe that's what I needed, to get laid. Make me forget all about the blue-eyed optimist wearing a sexy little black dress while she's out with some asshole tonight. Maya returned from the bathroom. She really was pretty, even without looking south of her face. She smiled from under her thick lashes. Big brown eyes batted what was unsaid. Instead of planting herself back on the stool, she sidled up to me, pushing those massive tits up against my arm. I always thought you were too good for Allison. I looked at her lips. Oh, yeah? You know what else I think? What's that? Her hand went to my thigh. That there's no better revenge than your coming home with me? She was absolutely right. Allison would flip out if she'd found out I'd slept with Maya. The problem was, I didn't give a fuck about Allison or getting revenge. And while my dick really wanted to go home with her anyway, I just didn't have it in me. I covered her hand with mine. You're beautiful, and you have no idea how tempting that offer is. But there's someone else. You're seeing someone? I shook my head. No, but I'd still feel like I was cheating. Maya stared at me for a moment, then pushed up on her toes and kissed my cheek. I hope she knows what a lucky bitch she is, because Allison sure didn't. I felt like absolute shit the next morning. After canceling my 8 o'clock meeting at the last minute and going back to sleep for an hour, I dragged my sorry ass to the office. A delivery guy was at the front desk just as I walked in. The acid in my sour stomach burned my throat as he spoke. Delivery for Miss Charlotte Darling. The receptionist signed for it and took a tip from the petty cash box as I stared at a dozen yellow roses. I'm such a fucking idiot. Such an idiot. A celibate fucking idiot. I'd turned down a night of revenge sex when Charlotte was out doing something to earn a few $100 in roses. My ass, she went out with a friend. I'd known she had been lying. Steam should have been coming out my nose and ears for how hot I suddenly felt. The receptionist picked up the phone. I assumed it was to call Charlotte. Don't call. I'll deliver them to Miss Darling's office for her. I thought about shoving the vase in the garbage and passing right by, but couldn't resist seeing Charlotte's face when I delivered them. She was on the phone when I barged in. Delivery for you. I plucked the card that was stapled to the cellophane wrapping. Sarcasm dripped from my tone. Here, let me read you the card since you're so hard at work. I ripped the tiny envelope open as she tried to rush the person off the phone. Clearing my throat, I read, "Great catching up. Hope to see you again soon. Blake." Blake. Sounds like a total douchebag. Charlotte hung up the phone and leaned over her desk to swat at the card in my hand. "Give me that." I pulled it out of reach and held it up over my head. "I didn't take you for an easy lay, Charlotte. Guess I was wrong." Her face turned crimson. "What I do during my personal time is none of your business." "That's where you're wrong. If your personal life interferes with your work, it's most certainly my business." Her hands shot to her hips. "My personal life has not interfered with my work. Getting these flowers delivered today is an interference. You're distracted, and that affects your work." "I think you're the one who's distracted." Charlotte marched from behind her desk and climbed up on the guest chair next to where I stood. She ripped the card from my hand and leaned her face down to mine. Our noses were almost touching. "Jealousy isn't flattering on you, Eastwood." "I'm not jealous," I gritted through my teeth. A slow, evil smile spread across her face. "Really? So you wouldn't mind if I told you how handsome Blake is?" I wanted to wipe that smirk right off her face by jamming my tongue into her mouth. Charlotte, don't screw with me.
Screw?
She leaned in closer, our noses actually touching now.
So you do want to talk about Blake?
For heaven's sake! Grandmother's voice interrupted our screaming match. She slammed the door behind her, so the three of us were shut inside Charlotte's office.
What is wrong with the two of you? The entire office can hear you yelling at each other.
Fuck. I raked my hands through my hair. This woman made me crazy. I'm the guy telling people to pipe down when they start getting too loud in the office, not the guy who has to be told to shut up. By my grandmother, no less. The last time she'd had to reprimand me was probably when Max and I fought over a toy as kids. Charlotte spoke first.
Iris, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize we were so loud.
Get down off that chair, grandmother snapped. She was pissed. Charlotte climbed down and stood beside me. We both waited with bowed heads for the wrath we knew was coming.
The two of you need to grow up.
She turned her attention to me first.
Reed, you're my grandson, and I love you very much, although you're a horse's ass sometimes. Life dealt you a shitty hand, yes, but that doesn't mean you fold. That means you take a deep breath and pull all the crappy cards you're holding, toss them in the center of the pile, and grab four new ones. Have some balls, son. Don't fold like a wimp.
She turned her attention to Charlotte, and her voice softened.
And, sweetheart, we live in New York City. There are two things we don't have to chase after, trains and men. Because there'll always be another one ready to pick us up right behind the first.
Grandmother turned on her heel and reached for the doorknob. Glancing back over her shoulder, she continued,
I'm going to leave now, and I'm going to shut the door behind me and give you two a minute. Then I expect you both to be back at work as usual.
After Iris left, we looked at each other. I took a deep breath. I'm sorry for the way I acted.
Apology accepted, and I'm sorry for calling you a narcissistic bastard.
My brows drew down. You didn't. She smiled.
Oh, well, I thought it then.
I couldn't help but chuckle. You're nuts, darling. I extended my hand. Friends? She put her little one in mine.
Friends.
I walked to the door and opened it, but Charlotte stopped me.
Reed?
I turned back.
I'm not easy. Nothing happened between me and Blake.
She was trying to make me feel better, but it only made me feel worse, because I heard the unspoken word missing from her sentence. Nothing happened between me and Blake. Yet.
Chapter 28. Charlotte. Here are the expense report summaries on the Hudson property that you asked for. I placed a file on the corner of Iris's desk. She had papers strewn all over. Even though it was almost 7 in the evening, it didn't look like she was leaving anytime soon. Thank you, sweetheart. I nodded and turned to walk out, but had to say something. Iris? She looked up. Hmm? I'm really sorry about this morning. It was totally unprofessional, and it won't happen again. I promise. Unexpectedly, tears welled in my eyes. Iris took off her glasses. Shut the door, Charlotte. Let's talk. She walked from behind her desk and sat on one of the four oversized upholstered chairs that faced each other on the far end of her office. Have a seat. I'd never been nervous around Iris before. This was the woman I'd spilled my guts to within the first 3 minutes of meeting her in the ladies' room. Yet my palms were sweaty, and I had to fight the urge to wring my hands. Do you want to talk about it? You know that anything you tell me is between me and you, right? I do. Tell me about the man who sent you those beautiful flowers. Is your heart torn? Maybe you want to move on, but you're struggling. I know you care for Reed. Yes, no, yes. Iris smiled. Clear as mud. I took a deep breath and exhaled loudly. I'm not struggling or torn. Blake is a guy that I knew in college. I went out with my friend last night and ran into him. We talked for a little while. He asked me out, but I said no. The flowers were nothing more than him trying to get me to change my mind. But I didn't exactly explain that to Reed when he saw the flowers. He got the wrong impression, got jealous, and I liked the way that felt.
I see.
Every time we start to get close, he puts up this wall. I began picking imaginary lint off the arm of the chair I was sitting in. I've tried to get him to cross the line by... Well, he's your grandson, so I don't want to freak you out. But let's just say he's rebuffed every...